You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Some may know, some may not know, September 15th through October 15th is Hispanic Heritage Month. And this month, we wanted to spend some time with some stories on the Lord's work in the Hispanic community here in the United States and around the world as well. We have some great stories to share with you today. We're going to head to Indiana for a story in Hispanic Heritage Month in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Pastor Daniel Fekencher. He's an associate pastor serving at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Iglesia Luterana San Pablo in Columbus, Indiana, and missionary pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church, or Iglesia Luterana La Trinidad in Indianapolis, Indiana. My Spanish is not so great, so thanks for bearing with me on that. Well, tell us about who you are, and then we'll learn more about the congregations where you get to serve.
Sure, yes. So I am a 2020 graduate of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And of all the good things that came from there, I got to meet my wife there. She was studying to be a deaconess, Taylor. And so that was certainly a wonderful benefit that came out of studying there in Fort Wayne. And then out of the seminary, we were sent to Del Rio, Texas, which is on the border with Mexico, and of course got to do some Spanish work there. But now I'm back and serving. So St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbus was actually my vicarage congregation. So that's a neat little tidbit. So back where I spent a year of seminary preparation.
Now, is Spanish something that you already knew, were familiar with the language? Was this something that you kind of were expecting to do? Or was this a first call where you had to learn as you went on the ground?
Yeah, good question. So I began learning Spanish about 11 years ago. So when I was coming up on, graduation from college, I had a lot of fun studying outdoor recreation and resource management at Indiana University, which was wonderful. Camping, as my wife calls it, when people ask what I majored in, camping, which is not all that inaccurate. And that was great. That was wonderful. But it was one of those things where it's like, then you're starting to do the serious job search thing. And it's like, well, all the opportunities, all the obvious job placements were looking like seasonal or part-time. I was like, well, shoot, I've got a 4-year degree, but I don't really want to do seasonal work or something like that. And so actually with my campus ministry at Indiana University with Pastor Richard Wellmer, we attended a campus ministry conference of the LCMSU in St. Louis, the Christmas break of my senior year. And Deaconess Pam Nielsen, who was a family friend, did a presentation on mission work of the LCMS. And she spoke about the program to serve for a couple, 2 or 3 years. And I thought, well, I'm not quite sure what I was going to do with my degree anyway. So yeah, if someone will take me to do that, that'd be wonderful. Send me anywhere. And they sent me to the Dominican Republic to serve as a lay missionary down there with the Lutheran mission there. And so that is when I started to learn Spanish. And that time down there helped me decide to go to seminary. And so I knew I wanted to do both of those things together, being a pastor and using Spanish. So I'm still learning. So when people ask, when did you learn Spanish? It's like, well, I definitely still am learning Spanish. So always more to improve on and such.
What are some of the other valuable things skills or other things that you gain from your time as a missionary serving in Latin America?
I think probably patience, as far as just what to expect of the growth of a congregation. It's not always going to look like, New Testament Acts, Pentecost, where it's just thousands of folks just all of a sudden joining the church. You're going to, make some progress with a family, and then they'll ghost you, for a while. And it's little by little, and just being very patient with, expectations. I think that's definitely something that's my experience there has certainly helped prepare me for what I'm facing now and to have sort of proper expectations, I suppose.
What did you learn about the culture of the people you were serving as a missionary in Latin America?
Definitely a warm, I mean, not just the climate, but hospitality is taken very seriously. And that was my experience there, and that's certainly my experience now. You know, I don't know, you know, there's experts that could tell you a lot more, but I do think about, I mean, if you picture neighborhoods like where I was, you know, most of my work in Santiago, Dominican Republic, the houses are just right on top of each other. You know, everyone's bunched in a lot of space. And so that naturally lends itself to knowing your neighbors a lot more. Like they hear when your kids are screaming, you know, like they know when you're going to the grocery store. And I mean, we've got big yards, you know, when we're indoors with air conditioning, we get in our cars and you can like my wife and I just moved to a house and we haven't even met the people, you know, we met one of our neighbors and that's because he came over to us, but their side, there's a family, but I don't even know their names, you know? And I think that lends itself to hospitality with, you know, even, you know, folks that have a lot less than I do, for example, are like, here, pastor, here, have this food, take this food home. And I'm like, wouldn't it be nice if someone else brought, you know, and just hospitality is very, very natural, just flows, I think, maybe perhaps more than among Anglo-Americans, I suppose.
So tell us about the communities where you serve right now. We mentioned two churches where you're serving two different places. Tell us about those communities that you get to serve in.
Yeah. So like you said, I am the bulk of my call is as an associate pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church or San Pablo in Columbus, Indiana. And so we're about an hour south of Indianapolis, so the southern half of the state, just down I-65. And it's a really neat, and I would say perhaps, you know, not all conditions will allow this, but as far as Hispanic ministry goes, Latino ministry goes, it's perhaps an ideal setup in which, there's senior pastor Doug Bauman, and another associate pastor, Jeff Patterson. And so when the second service, 10:45, the late service begins in the sanctuary, I am in the fellowship hall, which we've got set up with a chapel. We've got plans to do something more substantive, an expansion project to get something more fitting. But we've got a nice usable chapel that's movable and everything in the fellowship hall for the Spanish service. And so I am with the Latino families in there from the opening hymn until the offertory and the offering. So the service of the word. And then we then make our way into the sanctuary to finish the divine service for the service of the sacrament with the English service. And so that's really quite neat. All of the body of Christ here within St. Paul getting to join together for that part of the service. So that's really quite neat. And I just say that's perhaps, you know, it allows for worship together, English speakers and Spanish speakers. But also, you know, the sermon, for example, the readings, everyone gets to hear it in their first language. But of course, that a setup like that is only possible when, you know, you got more than one pastor, which I know is a blessing that we've got at St. Paul that not everyone has. So that's in Columbus. That's a Sunday morning in Columbus, and then we do Spanish service or Spanish Bible study after that 10:45 service, and then the other third. So on paper, I 2/3 of my call are to St. Paul, Columbus. The other third is serving in Indianapolis, like you said, an hour north, and I'm at Trinity Lutheran Church or La Trinidad. And so there I have a 3:30 Spanish service. So they're on the English side of things, they're currently vacant. But so there's the English service up there in the morning that I'm not there for, of course. I'm down in Columbus. But then, so yeah, going up there to Trinity for a 3:30 service and then Bible study. So yeah, so that's kind of a neat, kind of an interesting arrangement, but it's very enjoyable. I'm glad to be doing it.
Sundays are quite busy for you and for your congregation there in Columbus and certainly heading up to Indianapolis as well. I want to learn more about how the same service happening in two languages at the same time happens. I want to learn more about that and some of the logistics of that. I'm fascinated by this.
This is really cool.
Yeah, it's a concept I've never really thought of before, heard of. So I want to learn more about that in just a moment. We're talking with Pastor Daniel Fekincher. We'll learn more in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Pastor Daniel Fekincher. He serves congregations in Columbus, Indiana and Indianapolis, Indiana, as we are looking at Hispanic Heritage Month this month, September 15th through October 15th. He's serving congregations that are both English-speaking and Spanish-speaking. Now, in the just a few minutes ago, Pastor, you mentioned that Divine Service on Sunday mornings happens in two different languages, happening kind of like right next to each other, and then you come together for the sacrament. Do you ever have to like compare notes on your sermons to time them, like the hymns and the sermon, the readings and the sermon, things like that? How does that work logistically? I mean, that's beautiful and brilliant to be able to have a congregation that serves people in two different languages, but also being able to be together as one congregation, especially coming together for the sacrament. Beautiful. I'm just curious, what are some of the challenges, the logistics of that?
It usually works. We haven't had any major hiccups. And so, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, Pastor Bauman is not brief in his preaching, so on the English side. So that, I think, works to my advantage. Like I kind of hate to have to do this, but, you know, so there's the gathering space, kind of like the narthex between us. And they've got the speaker playing into the narthex for, you know, if a mother needs to get up with their child or something, they can still listen. And it's kind of annoying, but it does carry over a little bit into our space. And I hate to have to do it. But yeah, like this past Sunday, I was kind of, you know, preaching out of my mouth. And then like my left ear was kind of like listening. I was like, oh, you know, and there was actually a section of my sermon which, like, it was going to be more applicable for my second preaching of it up in Indianapolis. And it was more set to a circumstance up there, and it wasn't too closely tied to the text of the day. And I was thinking I'd probably leave it out in my morning preaching of it. But then when I hear Pastor Bauman, I'm like, oh, he's just getting going on the sermon. I was like, okay, yeah. I'll include that second part and give that a run through in the morning. But the idea is, I mean, ideally we're there for the Sanctus and all that, but as long as we're in there by, you know, the words of institution, I think it's close enough. So no major problems yet. So
you talk about flexibility, learning flexibility on the mission field. I feel like this is an instance where learning how to kind of roll with it as you go, right, and not be super strict about timing everything out. I think it's a good application of what you've learned on the mission field. What else happens then? You have a very busy Sunday going between the two churches, but obviously pastors don't just work on Sundays. So what does the rest of your week look like for you as a pastor doing your pastoral work during the week?
Yeah. So, you know, A lot of it at this point is during the day. It's simply at church or in the office because people really aren't free. You know, I mean, people are working, you know, and I think that's something a bit more to, you know, Hispanic ministry. Not as many shut-ins, you know, I would say, as on the English side, because most of these folks have come to the Lutheran church as adults, you know, so it's not a generational thing where, you know, or my grandparents and their grandparents, et cetera, were in the Lutheran church. And my grandma's one of the shut-ins that my pastor visits. So there's not a lot. I sometimes feel like there's not a lot to do out and about during the day, but in the evening is kind of when people are off of work, is kind of when I need to get out to people. But even that, sometimes, you know, people might be working unusual shifts. But another part of that, so the work here in Columbus has a much longer history. Well, them have much longer histories at both Indianapolis and Columbus than I've been involved in. It certainly predates me. But there is Seymour, Indiana, which is half an hour south. Keep going down I-65. And so actually, all of our members who faithfully, regularly attend in Columbus are coming up from Seymour each Sunday. And, you know, they all work and everything. And so I know that to do anything during the week with them, I go to them to meet down there, just knowing that, you know, asking them to do an hour round trip, you know, during the week after a day of work is just too much. But Seymour's got a good Lutheran presence. And so there are congregations down there that have been eager to hosting us meeting for Bible study like Tuesday or Wednesday midweek. And there's a large Hispanic population down there. And so lots of outreach opportunities while also serving the families that are with us on Sunday. And, you know, for example, you know, a challenge is, you know, with the jobs that folks have, they don't have, you know, there's two dads, for example, that don't have Sundays off, you know, and it's like they're working the jobs that they have. And, you know, you can say, well, is church a priority or not? And it's one of those hard things where it's like, well, I mean, they're working the job that they could get, you know, and so that does make me have to be a little more, you know, patient, understanding with, well, I mean, maybe we got to make something more available during the midweek, you know, and be able to meet them so that they can provide for their family through work while also bringing church to them, perhaps at a less traditional time and day. So.
In what ways do you see the heritage and the culture of the Hispanic communities that you serve in Columbus and Indianapolis? How do you see that culture and that heritage being preserved? And in what ways do you see it changing as well?
Yeah. Well, I guess the as far as the change part goes, perhaps the most obvious thing is kids that don't know Spanish. And so that's a challenge in itself, where it's like I've got kids who, you know, their parents speak Spanish and I speak way more Spanish than these kids do. And they can't really understand my sermons, you know, and when I'm preaching in Spanish. So like in Indianapolis, for example, I've really been trying to work through how best to serve those kids. So they're like one family in particular, and to do the whole service bilingually, I think would be rather tedious. But so what I've done and I'm doing for now, and maybe I will, this is certainly open to flexibility, to changing. I do the words of absolution in Spanish, then I say them in English. Whatever the text is that I'm going to preach on, I read that in both languages, and then I give a very brief synopsis of the sermon in English before I really get rolling in Spanish. And then I do the words of institution in both Spanish and English. And so that's kind of what I'm settling on for now. And there's certainly room for improvement. If someone calls in and says, oh, you should really be doing it this way, I'd be all ears. As far as preserving culture, I mean, I think that comes about through, you know, Latinos, Hispanics spending time together within their communities. And I think that hospitality that we were speaking of earlier has not been lost. I mean, I you know, speaking of what it is in the Dominican Republic, but then speaking of what it is in Columbus or in Indianapolis, I mean, like one, this is both a challenge and a blessing. So this church in Indianapolis, they really didn't have, before I began, a custom of doing Bible study after church. So I thought, well, that'd be good, you know, a little more catechesis and whatnot. But they're so hospitable and so eager to spend time together. They're always bringing food and there's always something to celebrate. And I never, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to ever, you know, dampen that or be like, you know, let's not do that. Let's do Bible study. You know, it's always like, oh, and I love to eat and I'm all about food, you know? So it's kind of like, I don't know if that's a little bit of my sinful flesh or not, but I'm like, now, okay, if there's cake, if there's pastel de tres leches, yeah, we'll do Bible study next week. We'll do Bible study next week. So that's been kind of an ongoing, just something in my head, like, did I see somebody walk in before church with a big, you know, big chafing dish or big pan of something, you know, I'm like, all right, well, it looks like maybe no Bible study today, and I'm usually okay with that, you know, but that's one of those things where it's like, good for you guys for just, I do think there is a lot to be said about, you know, you come to a new country, you're not really that comfortable in the language, and then it's like, you do need that community around you, you know, and how exciting it is when people are able to find that community at church, right? And there's actually life there. There's salvation there. And so that is a wonderful, exciting, exciting thing.
Yeah, the community at church is incredibly important, and the fact that they want to be together and want to celebrate, like that is no small thing. So that's
right.
A challenge and a blessing at the same time. Andy's going to ask you a food question maybe in a minute, but how have you seen God working through these ministries to reach the people in your communities?
Yeah, I have been overwhelmed with people's enthusiasm to bring people to church, to invite their friends to church. And I don't know that I've ever, I mean, no reason for me not to start doing it, but I haven't been the one been like, hey, where are you guys' friends at? When are you going to start inviting friends? It's just, I think that does reveal that sense of wanting that community, but then knowing that there's actually something very good here, you know, that the church has to offer, that Christ has to offer, and they're excited to have their friends be a part of that. So I think I've been very encouraged, like in Indianapolis in particular. I'm not living up there. I'm not there most of the week, but that's where the families have really just taken upon themselves to bring friends. And it's like, great, you guys keep doing that. That's good. That's wonderful.
That's awesome.
You know, I may not speak Spanish, but I believe your congregation speaks my language.
Oh, God, yes.
Food is your love
the
language.
Food, yes. If the community gathered around food, I get it. Uh-huh. I know that language. Yes,
yeah.
That's beautiful. Great point, though, that they find their sense of community in their congregation, you know, mm-hmm. at the church. What a great way to find that sense of community there.
Yeah.
Pastor, thank you so much for spending this time with us on the Coffee Hour this morning, helping us learn about your congregations. Thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
My pleasure. Thank you guys very much. Very much.
God's bless. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.